Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
And you're welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brough, for your Friday evening build-up to a busy sporting weekend in the Premier County. And on tonight's show, we'll be building up, particularly to this evening's live game here on Tip FM from 7:30, the County Senior Hurling Championship clash between Loughmore, Castellina and JK Brackens. We'll be hearing from both camps ahead of the game, as well as looking ahead to the other big games of the weekend, where knockout and relegation placings will be confirmed in Senior Orion Cup and Intermediate Championship action. We'll also be looking ahead to the second round of games in the Ladies Football Championship. We'll also hear from Nina's Barry Coffey ahead of this evening's Airtricity League Munster Derby between his Cork City and Treaty United in Limerick. And as ever, we'll talk dogs with Barry Drake at the end of the show as we review the Irish Derby last weekend, as well as this weekend's meetings in Clonmel and Thurles. So all that and more over the next hour or so here on Across the Line, so why not stay tuned. And as I said, we'll begin with hurling, and this weekend sees the final round of games in the FPD Insurance County Senior Orion Cup and Intermediate Championships, with plenty at stake in all groupings. The action gets underway this evening in Simple Stadium, with the winner takes all groups 3 senior hurling clash between neighbours Loughmore, Castellani and JK Brackens. A game you can hear live here on Tip FM with Stephen Gleeson and former Tipperary manager Michael Ryan calling the game from 7:30. Ahead of the game, Stephen Gleeson caught up with both camps, beginning with Loughmore Castellani manager Frankie McGrath, where he began by saying that the game couldn't be better set up. What is at stake?
Oh, any time ourselves and the Brackens cross swords, like it's always an interesting affair anyway, and I'm sure on Friday evening it'll be no different.
Yeah, and it's this game, I suppose, it's nicely set up now because, you know, it's such a fine margins. Anything can happen in this group. How do you see it all?
Well, sure, I suppose when we always expected that it was going to come down to this game, so it did. And over the last couple of weeks, like, we've been preparing strongly for it, like, we're saying. We know the Brackens have been preparing strongly too. Like I said, they had an excellent contest with Killadangan there the last evening out. Like, so look, we're not under no illusions, I can assure you, of the task that's ahead of us. So, as I said, it's a lot more Brackens match, and on those occasions, anything can happen. That's the history of it. Like, I mean, I'm going to those type of matches for the last 50 years, like, you know, and yeah, the people who tune in or people who attend the game, like, are likely to get value for money this time round.
And going back through the years, like, I suppose you hurled against them, you played football against them. I know a lot of your family went to school in Templemore, so the players will know each other. The likes of Brian McGrath won Hearty Cups with Paddy Cadell. So there's an awful lot of connections between the two parishes and the two clubs.
Yeah, which are the connections, they go back even a lot further than that, like, so they do, because I suppose over the years, like, they've gained a few players from us, I suppose, and we've gained a couple from them, like, even going way back, like, the Doherty and the Kavanaghs and the Ryans, but there's Sean Ryan, the former mid-board secretary, was married to Peg Ryan, and Peg was an aunt of ours, but she was the daughter of the great Jim Ryan, who played on Bloody Sunday. And some of their offspring included Don Ryan and Spooner and Jimmy. And I'm sure they certainly broke our hearts a few times back the years, you know. But the flip side of it then, like, was, I remember a Tom Maher Tom was a player that came to us in the early 70s, and he was part of a senior football team that won a county final that year, went on to contest the Munster club final. And Tom was a staunch player for us. And we also, Tom Larkin was another that came our direction. And Tom was part of the first county senior hurling title that we ever won in 1998 or 1988. Like, so it works both ways. And, you know, the history of it again, like, is centres a lot around our ladies there as well. And we're always incredibly grateful for the outlet that you know, I suppose we call it Templemore CBS and later our ladies, like you said, they give us a fantastic outlet for guys to play hurling at a high level. And you know, it's a, that continues to the present day, but it has a big impact as regards Friday evening. Like we said, there's a fine scatter of both Loughmore and Bracken's players. They won the Hartley Cup and an All Ireland Colleges title together there not very long ago. So look, there's a high caliber of player on both sides on Friday evening, and said hopefully the contest will reflect that, and that the people that look in will enjoy it.
And Frankie, you mentioned the football as well last weekend. Another tight encounter against the neighbours. You know, that was a real, you know, a game that just drew everybody in, and it finished in a draw. Like, how did you see that one?
Well, sure, from close range, I suppose. But look, anybody that was at the match will realise, I suppose, that there was a kind of a clash of styles on the evening. And I suppose one cancelled out the other, I suppose, at the end, like, sure, the match ended in a draw. Like, but look, it was a typical Loughmore Brackens encounter again. Nothing soft, plenty of hard hitting. Seanie Everard had plenty to do to keep control inside in the middle of it as well, like, you know, but the physicality that was there, I'm sure it'll be there again on Friday evening, you know, but that's just typical of the type of game that you get between us. You know, so we're looking to go forward in the football, Brackens are looking to go forward in the football, and both of us are looking to go forward in the hurling. So look, it's an exciting time for both groups of players at the minute. And as I said, we're, you know, kind of can't wait to get going on Friday evening.
Loughmore Castellani manager Frankie McGrath speaking with Stephen Gleeson about tonight's big game. And Stephen also got the view of Jacob Bracken's manager Eamon Corcoran as they get set to take on their near neighbours for the second time in 7 days.
Yeah, I suppose when the draw was made, anyone looking in at Loughmore versus Bracken's, both in hurling and football, I think it's an attractive fixture. But we played them last Saturday, and obviously we have them again this Friday. And I think the advantage for both teams is anyone looking outside often looks in and it's a duo clubs that they might struggle one week after another, but the excuses are gone for both teams because we played each other last Saturday and we've only a few days ready to go again on the hurling side. So I think both teams will be looking forward to it.
Yeah. And Eamon, like preparations, I suppose from your point of view, it's not ideal meeting your next door neighbour, but preparations are, you know, as they'll always be, I suppose, when a neighbour meets each other, you know each other well and you just get on with it and get into the game. And is that what it's going to be like?
Yeah, it is. We've played Kildangan the last time, Carrickie. Likewise, Loughmore have played both teams. So look, we've a good prep coming into it. I think we got caught badly in the mid-championship against Loughmore. They took us for 20 points, you know, and just albeit we were missing a few players, we just didn't perform. And I think after that game, from a management point of view, we to do a lot of soul searching. And I'm a firm believer in it's up to the manager to get to create the environment and get the players performing on the day. And it didn't work for us. So look, we went away and we looked at our performance, and we had a good performance against McCarthy. We got back on track, and the last day, disappointing to come away with a defeat against Kildangan, giving away a few frees at the end. But look, we're in a good space going into to play Loughmore, because as I said, it's belief now at this stage. We have a very, very good bunch of players. They're young lads that are coming through and they're starting to believe in their own ability. And we've seen that in the last two outings, but obviously it's do or die now at this stage. So I'm a huge believer in belief comes before performance, and we have to believe that we're good enough to beat Loughmore. And as I said, we're coming up against a team that were in the county final last year. But the lads, they're in a very good space. They've been training very well and they're up for it.
And there's a great mutual respect there as well. I mean, I know from talking to you in your own school days and recording you for Game of My Life that, you know, you knew Paul Ormond well, David Kennedy well. It's like that now as well with Brian McGrath, Paddy Cadell. All these lads went to school together, a lot from in our ladies. They know each other well. And, you know, there's a special kind of connection there when you're playing a team of players who are also friends in a lot of instances.
Yeah, and like we would have seen from a Hearty Cup point of view, a lot of these lads that when we went down and won the Hearty and All-Ireland schools, like they would have all played together. So they know each other very well, and that brings that bit more, I suppose, of excitement into the game. But like knowing each other well off the field, but when you get to play a knockout championship on a Friday night in Semple Stadium, it's where every player wants to be and wants to play. So I've no doubt the friendship will be left aside for that hour and a half. But like they said, they know each other inside out. Like when we're going down, obviously we do video analysis and these players know each other, their own games from training together in the school and stuff. So I think both sets of players will be really up for it.
Yeah, and Eamon, like your club is going places really at the minute. You had a huge fundraiser there during the summer for the camper van. You know, there's a good vibe around JK Brackens. You have three adult hurling teams at the moment, which is huge, really. There's a good buzz there. And I know Sunday you're in the junior A semi-final against Upper Church as well. So there's a lot going on really in Brackens at the moment.
Look, there is, I suppose, we've... this group of players have been coming through the last number of years, but it's great to have us in the three adult hurling teams. But at the end of the day, it's, and all the fundraising that happens off the field, it's all for making sure we perform at the best of our ability and at senior level and are bringing home titles or trophies. And look, we're on a journey at the moment. We've a good bit to go yet. We know that, but like where we've come the last two or three years has been great. Like winning the Seamus Arene, getting to a county senior football final over the last two years ago. But I think all the fundraising, everything you do off the field, it's to make sure that the lads are prepared to perform on the big days. And like for me, we can do all this and make sure we're feeling all these teams. But from a club point of view and the supporters of JK Brackens looking in, they want to see results. And likewise, last Saturday when we drew with Loughmore, we were disappointed. We wanted to get the win. And Friday night is no different. But as I said, everything we do off the field is to make sure the players are prepared as best they can to perform on nights like next Friday night.
JK Brackens manager Eamon Corcoran speaking with Stephen Gleeson ahead of tonight's live game here on Tip FM, one of three live games on the station this weekend. Say starting with tonight when Stephen Gleeson and Michael Ryan will be in the commentary box from 7:30 for that game in association with Sola Energy Solutions Temple Moore. Tomorrow, Stephen will be joined by Shane McGrath for the clash between Tommy Vara and Nolan Nahon from 1:30. In association with the Showgrounds Shopping Centre in Clonmel. Well, on Sunday, Stephen will be joined by former Upper Church manager John Ryan, who will be calling the big game between Burrisley and Nina Aeroge from 3:45. That game is brought to you in association with Mattress Mick, who opens a new store in Clonmel next month. The Tipperary GA live stream service in association with Tip FM will be showing four games this weekend, starting with Loughmore against JK Brackens this evening. Two games on Saturday, Tommy Vara against Mullinahon at 1:30 and Thurles Arsfields versus Upper Church from Ban at 5 o'clock. While on Sunday, it will have the Oireann Club clash between Gortnahu Glengool against Killinall at 12 noon. The Burrisley v Nina Aeroge senior hurling game is being shown live on TG Cahir. So after the break, we'll have a look ahead at some of those games and more in the company of JJ Kennedy. And you're very welcome back to the show. And now we look ahead to the key games this weekend in the Senior Oireann and Intermediate Championships in the company of JJ Kennedy, a columnist, the Westside columnist in the National newspaper. JJ, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Shane.
Good to have you along, JJ. I know you're heading to Semple Stadium just after we finish. Look, I suppose this game couldn't be set up better. Like it's winner takes all. The sides drew in senior football last weekend. I don't know if you heard Frankie McGrath. Like they know each other inside out from school and even family ties. It really is set up nicely for this game this evening.
It is, and it's a crucial one, of course, in the group. It's winner take all, isn't it? The winner is into the quarterfinals, and the loser might well, depending on, I think, other results. McCarthy playing Kildangan in this other one, and you'd expect, I suppose, Kildangan would win that one. Mm-hmm. But Loughmore and Brackens. I mean, it's they know each other intimately. They go to school there, a lot of them, and they really over the years they become very familiar with each other. So. It looks like one of those sort of games. I suppose on known form from previous years, people would expect Loughmore to maybe have enough to get through in this one. I certainly wouldn't see it as a foregone conclusion or anything like that. I think it's one that's open and could go either way. They're both playing football, of course. You mentioned it in your introduction there, and that's an issue for a number of clubs. With the championship the way it's structured this year, because it's pretty relentless, but at least the two of these are on equal territory in that regard, that they're both doing it. I don't know, Loughmore, I mean, it's I suppose in advance you would have expected that Loughmore and Kildangan would be the two teams to come through this particular group. But it's not, absolutely decided. So it's really down to this, and I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be a cracking game.
Yeah, I know, as Frankie McGrath mentioned in the interview, like there was last week's football match was a clash of styles, and it, definitely I think we're going to see that again tonight, because Bracken's tend to play both their hurling and football the very, very same. A sweeper, they tend to try and keep the middle third nice and compact and try and work the ball through the lines. So I suppose their point of view, they want to keep the game as tight as they can. They can't afford to let the game get away from them like it did in the mid-championship about 2 months ago.
Yeah, that's true, and you know that style. When a team brings the football style to a hurling match, it can often be very difficult for maybe a more orthodox hurling team that they're not used to that sort of crowding that you get in with that football style, and you know the hard work rate and so on that you get with the running that you get off the ball, all of that sort of stuff. So I think that's just another fascinating dimension of the game. I would expect on balance that, you know, Lochmore should get through, but it'll be fascinating to see how it pans out.
Absolutely. The other game in that group, Kildangan and Mike Carkey's on Sunday at 3 o'clock in Templemore. That game is a dead rubber. Kildangan can't be caught at the top, and Mike Carkey heading for relegation. We'd look ahead to tomorrow, JJ, in Group 2. I suppose when the draw was made, this looked to be the most open group, and that's the way it's transpired. So we have all four teams still in the hunt. Mullinahone against Tumivara in Simple Stadium, and Clonolty Rossmore against Holy Cross in Bohorlahan, both games at 1:30. Looking at Clonolty, there seems to be an element of it maybe changing of the guard this year, a bit of a fresh approach to I know you were more closer to the scene down in Clonolty. What have you made of them so far?
I suppose I saw their game, their last game against Tumivara, and I thought they were a bit disappointing that day. It wasn't by any means one of their better performances. They'll certainly need to up it from that performance, I think, if they're to come through this. You know, on paper, people might say Clonolty v Holy Cross, a Holy Cross team without Brian O'Mara, I suppose, because of injury or whatever. He's a massive loss to them. So people would say this should be Clonolty's. But remember, they met at this stage last year again, in Borland again in a very similar game, and I think people expected Clonolty to come through, but they didn't. As often happens, Shane, I think in these sort of local derbies, even though they're different divisions, they know each other very, very closely, and it takes or tends to take on a life of its own when these two clash. It ended a draw last year, and you know, you'd expect a bit of a dogfight in this one again when they meet at the weekend. And as you say, a lot riding on it. I mean, it's extraordinary, this particular group. You mentioned about a dead rubber in the previous group we talked about, the Lochmore group. Actually, the extraordinary thing is that round three, we've so few dead rubbers. I mean, for the vast majority of teams, there's something to play for. They're either avoiding relegation, or they're almost through to the quarterfinals, or maybe they're trying to make sure that they win as a top of the group team into the quarterfinals and get a better draw. So it's a fascinating in that context. And you're right. I mean, Toome and Mullinahone again, very. I'd hate to be putting money in any of these games, because you know it really is a very, very tight group that anything could happen in. And you know, fascinating to anticipate those games. One of the great things about the championship, Shane, I think, that you know, we have, and it goes right across the board, the senior. Dan Breen, say the Seamus O'Regan, and the intermediate. Very, very good groups, very tight, very well graded, well seeded, and so on, and some fascinating games in all of them.
Absolutely, yeah. No, it is very, very even. I suppose that group, particularly, like you could have three teams finishing on 4 points and going to score difference, or you could have three finishing on two, and like it's really going to be. I think this is going to be very, very close. And looking ahead to Group One, that finishes up tomorrow evening at 5 o'clock. Turtle Sarsfields against Upper Church Drumban in Templemore, and Drummond Inch against Iroga and Acarty in Cashel. I think Turles have been the team of the championship so far, but this time last year they were flying at two, but I just get the sense from what I've seen of them so far, there's definitely more energy in their performances this year, along with their victories.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they certainly, you're right, they have been the story of the championship so far. I suppose that they've gone through, what is it, what, four, is it at this stage, was it 2017 they did the four in a row, and since then they've hit a bit of a valley and you know, have had some quiet years, but certainly look totally rejuvenated this year. You know, a new manager in there from Kilkenny, and they've revamped, reshaped the team. It's a different looking team from previous years. From what I hear, they have a lot of physical work done in training, and they certainly look very fit. You know, full of running, full of energy, full of combination play. And of course, as we know, with Aspie's teams, every one of them has a very, very high skill level. And so they're really flying at the moment. I saw them against Enniscarty, and they absolutely demolished Enniscarty on that particular occasion. Just ran through them. So they you know, they look potent. They look very strong. I know people were saying maybe last year at one stage they were going strong as well. I think this is different. I'd be surprised if it panned out the same as it did last year. But you never know. You know it's, they're one of those teams, I suppose, when they are on top, they really look fantastic because, as I said, the skill level is so high. But then if they meet a team that really brings them down, and that's going to be the big challenge, I think, in future games. Maybe not this weekend, but in future games, a team that will really get into their faces and bring them into a dogfight, how will they fare at that? Mm-hmm. But all we can go on is the evidence we have so far, and certainly they're favourites to win the championship, and you can see why.
Yeah, I suppose the fascinating thing about this group tomorrow is not, I suppose everybody expects maybe Turles to follow to top the group, but who goes with them? Will it be Upper Church? Will it be Enniscarty, or will it be Drummond maybe to a late victory and maybe pipping both other teams on score difference? So I suppose we're probably... We've been waiting for Drummond to fire. They haven't yet, but I suppose tomorrow might be as good a day as any to start.
Yeah, this is the situation. I mean, they're bottom of the table, backs to the wall at this stage. It's fire now, or you're into relegation. It's as simple as that. And it'll be a serious situation for a team like Drummond to be heading into a relegation battle. It has been a tough year for them. Things just not going their way, I suppose. That defeat against Upper Church particularly has really landed them in this situation. So you'd expect a kick from them. And Enniscarty a little bit backs to the wall there as well, because, you know, as you mentioned, Shane, if Drum win this particular one, you have three teams on, assuming that Sarsfields beat Upper Church, and maybe that's a wild assumption, but on known form, you'd expect that they would get ahead of them. So in that eventuality, you have three teams on 2 points, and you're really down to score difference then, and the score difference looks very poor from an Enniscarty perspective. You know, they're by far the worst. They're minus 19 of a score difference. Drum minus 11, Upper Church plus 2. So so there's a huge amount to play for, you know, and you'd expect that this really is, you're really going to have every team going full belt in this, because there'll be a lot of phones up to ears, I think, during the weekend, trying to find out what's happening in the other game as well. So, huge amount to play for.
Absolutely. And I suppose Group 4 wraps up on Sunday. Killer One McDonagh's against Ross Grey at 5 o'clock in Tumivera. That's a dead rubber game. Killer One finishing top, Ross Grey finishing bottom. But I suppose probably the game of the weekend, along with tonight's game, Burris Lee against Nina, 3:45. One of the favourites for the championship. One of them will be gone come probably 5 o'clock on Sunday. I know that the weather gods are not looking great, so it sets it up brilliantly for Sunday. It's who really wants it more?
Yeah, if you were to pick a team, pick a match, I suppose, out of the 24 games in total between the three competitions, and I think if you were to pick one match that's a standout one that you'd like to see, it's this Burris and Nina one. That this really is set up for an absolute dinger of a contest. As you say, winner takes all, both of them on 2 points. The winner goes through. It has everything. I saw the Burris Lee Killer One match, which was a fantastic game in itself, full of events, and you know, you had everything in it. You had injuries, you had sending offs, you had scores at either end, spectacular scores, great contest, and but Killer One coming out on top. So Burris are in this predicament as a result. I would slightly fancy Burris. Now, again, I suppose it depends on injuries. I don't have an update on the injury situation. And,
I think Dan McCormick is okay. I think it was just a bad dead leg against Killer One. So,
That's good news for them, because he was, I mean, I think that was crucial to the outcome of that particular game. He was going so well for Bursley until he got injured. And they do have Tommy Ryan being suspended, all right, from the previous game. But I'd expect that Boris maybe give Boris a slight edge in that. But, you know, you never know. Nina always there or thereabouts as well. So should be a cracker of a game.
Absolutely. I'm just quickly through the Orion Cup. I'll just go through the fixtures quickly. Group 1 on Saturday, Carrick Swans against Killadangan and again the Rag at 1:30. That's a winner takes all game. In Group 2, it's Silver Mines against Temple Derry in Tumivera at 5. Clannachenny against Newport and Nina at 5. Then on to Sunday in Group 3, both games at 12 o'clock. Ballina against Sean Tracy's in Newport. Gordon Hughlin-Gool against Killinall in Littleton. And in Group 4, Cashel King Cormac against Laura in Moneygall at 12 and St Mary's against Portrush at 12. And look at that Group 4 when the draw was made with Cashel, Laura, St Mary's and Portrush probably looked at the tightest, and it's the way it's working out. All four teams still in the hunt. Laura probably need a win and a bit of help to get through, but like it's a big opportunity for St Mary's and Cashel, particularly with wins, to get through. And I suppose St Mary's themselves, like they've had a couple of very, very good underage teams. Their under 19 team is in a county final now as well, so like things really seem to be going well in Clonmel at the moment.
They do, yeah, and I suppose their victory over Cashel was probably the one that I suppose would have maybe raised a few eyebrows. Not a massive surprise, but certainly given the extra players that Cashel have picked up this year, I think people would have expected them to be one of the front runners in this competition. But a great result there for Mary's in that particular match. So it leaves the group very, very open. I'm always one of those people who like to see St Mary's going well, because I think a town of its size and South Tip and so on, and I suppose a football dominated town in many ways. It's great, and as you say, they're under 19s defeated Kickhams midweek, so they're into a final, albeit they're you know, they're going to be underdogs against Sarsfields in that final. But, you know, good to see underage. A few years ago, they won back-to-back county minors. And a bit disappointing in the last two or three years at senior level, really not doing it, struggling a bit. But they certainly seem to be putting it together much better this year. And as you said, your own team, Laura, Shane, in a bit of bother here after being in the final last year. It's that they're struggling, obviously, injuries as well, not doing any favours there. So again, huge games, and I think probably the fancies would probably be St Mary's and Cashel to win those at the weekend, if you don't mind me saying so. I'm sure you'll have something to say about that.
Sure, we'll see how things go on Sunday anyway. I know it promises to be a fascinating weekend of action. JJ Kennedy, I'm sure you'll be rounding it up in your Westline column next week. Thanks for joining us on the line.
You're welcome, Shane.
JJ Kennedy there. And just quickly, we go to the Intermediate Championship games this weekend, all on Sunday in Group 4 at 12 o'clock. It's Arrivale Rovers against Ballinahinch in Dundrum. Ballingarry against Shannon Rovers in Temple Tuohy. Group 3 wraps up at 3 o'clock. It's Kilsheelan and Kilcash against Mile Rovers in Clonmel at 3. Nguyen hosts Boherlahan Duella and Golan Kilfeacle. While Group 2 wraps up at 5 o'clock, Ballybacon Grange against Moneygall in Holy Cross. And Caher hosts Carrick Davins against Knockavilla Kickhams. And Group 1 wraps up at 5:30. Cappa White against Mine Temple Tuohy in Clonalty. And Dala hosts Borisacane against Drummond Inch. You can get the tickets for all those games are available on the Tipperary GAA website. Time for another break, and we'll be back in part 3 with ladies football. And you're welcome back to Across the Line, and now we turn our attention to ladies football, where this weekend sees the second round of games in the Comida Senior Championship. And to look ahead to them, I'm joined as ever by Tony Smith. Tony, you're welcome to the show.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Good to have you along, Tony. We were into round 2. Round 1 began 2 weeks ago, and I suppose a number of key players missing for sides, but I think we look at the first game on Sunday at 11 o'clock in Cloheen, Brian Brews against Templemore. Templemore coming off a loss, and Brian Brews have been impressive so far.
Yes, I would agree with you, Shane. That particular group, Group 2, I would say that is probably more predictable than Group 1, because if you look at the results from the first round, it would appear that Brian Brews and Mile Rovers would be the two leading teams in that. So one would expect that Brian Boru's would beat Temple Moor and Mile Rovers would beat Turla Sarsfields. So that it would then be the last round of matches between Brian Boru's and Mile Rovers would really be to determine first and second. But then anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And just in terms of, I suppose, what I suppose with Brian Boru's, and I suppose Mile Rovers are playing Sarsfields in Monroe on Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. Would you fancy that both favourites would get the wins in these ones, or can Turles or Temple Moor fight back and get back in the hunt?
I would expect two home wins. I think Brian Boru's obviously a very, very experienced team, but they have a few very good young players now in their ranks. I mean, Cliona Dwyer had a very good campaign with the Tipp Senior Footballers this year. And then you have Laura Morrissey and Sean Amar and other young players like that making a breakthrough onto the Brian Boru's team. Whereas Temple Moor don't seem to have progressed at all. Torres Sarsfields, a different situation really. Like, I mean, they've come up from intermediate in Camogie. A lot of dual players, which obviously must cause problems. Some very impressive individuals. I know that if Emer McGrath opted to play football, she'd be on the Tipp Senior Football team at the minute, you know. But I just think Mile Rovers have a bit too much. Mile Rovers have been together now for a while. They haven't made that big breakthrough, but you'd never know.
Absolutely. And looking ahead to Group 1, I suppose we have the winners from Group 1 meeting in Marfield on Sunday at 12 o'clock. Clonmel Commercials against Care. Care, even without Aisling Maloney, put up 5-17 against Aherlow in Round 1. And then you look at Commercial scored 7-6 in a win over Feather. Feather scored 2-13. So it's that's fair scoring. And you know, you'd probably watch Commercial score two scores less, but it just shows that they have that potent forward line with Angela McGuigan and Ava Finnessy, among others.
Well, Andrew McGregor doesn't play with him, but Finnessy and others, definitely. But, you see, I think that group comes down to three teams, because Aherlow, because of the injuries, the two Kennedy sisters, huge loss to any team. They're a huge loss to a county team, not mind to say a club team. And Emma Morrissey is coming back from a long-term injury, so obviously it's difficult for them. But Care still have a nucleus of good players, like, you know, the Ashley McCarthy, Roisin Howard, Rosanna Kiley, these type players. They still can deliver at this level. But I think Care and Commercials could be a very, very interesting game. I just think, like, Commercials should be at this stage benefiting from the success of the Loreto teams. Yeah. I mean, they're a young team still, but they've had a few years together at this stage, so they should possibly be moving forward. I think Feather will have too much for Aherlow. Again, like, Feather have been together, that group of players has been together for quite a while. They need, I think, to move on to the next level. I was surprised that Commercials beat them so handily in the first match. But you never know. That group is a hard one to call. I think it could be any two from Feathered, Care and Commercials.
Mm-hmm. And just looking at the Intermediate Championship, I think this is wide open. Like, you have Ardfinnan against Cappa White and Ardfinnan on Sunday at 5, and then at 6 is Boherlaghan Duella against Galtee Rovers. Look, I'm sure I don't know whether Orla Dwyer has gone to Australia, but like, if they Boherlaghan at Orla, they would have serious intentions on of winning that championship.
They would, Shane. It's a very open one. I mean, obviously you can't get much closer than the first round of matches, but they were all draws.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, again, it in the sense that we'll say Ardfinnan have come back up, junior champions. You have Galtee Rovers, who were beaten in the media finalists last year. You have Cappa White dropping back from senior. It's a very difficult one to call. I mean, Galtee Rovers are a young team, a lot of talent. I think there could be a possibility. Cappa White, I saw them in the senior championship last year. I saw the only game they played last year, and they were very, very poor. And if they could get their act together, you'd never know. I mean, Elaine Kelly has had a fantastic season with the Tipp Seniors. Ardfinnan are a good side, balanced side. Some good young players coming through, like Sarah English and Clara English. Boerlan, you just don't know with Boerlan. If Boerlan have been putting in an effort, they certainly have the players. But as you say, it's the hardest one to call. Even to say who's going to be the two finalists, it could be any two from four.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I suppose in fairness, the structures of the ladies' championship really have settled down in the last few years. Like, you have eight teams in senior, you have four in intermediate, and the standard is rising year on year.
It is, definitely. I mean that intermediate championship is a classic example of it, because you know, I hope to get to watch all these matches over the weekend, obviously, and I would expect that certainly in intermediate, every one of those matches could be competitive. And, you know, who's to say that we won't get two more draws?
Absolutely, and I'm sure for any prospective Tipperary manager, whoever that person he or she will be, they will be interested in seeing some new talent coming through. Tony Smith, thanks for joining us on the show to look ahead to the weekend's ladies football action.
Thank you very much, Ian.
Tony Smith there. And just in the Junior A Championship, one game this evening. It's already underway between Mullinahone and Mike Harkey Burris in Mullinahone. While on Sunday at 4:30 in Clonine, it's St. Patrick's against Arevale Rovers. And just during our discussion, Tony Smith mentioned about dual players, and like it is a weekend where particularly anybody who was maybe playing for Turles Arsenal's ladies football team, particularly from the Drummond Inch club side, Emer McGrath, she will be in senior Camogie Championship action tomorrow in the FPD Championship. They take on Tumi Vara in the Rag at 4 o'clock, and at the same time it's the West Derby between Anna Carty and Clonalty Rossmore, both coming off wins last weekend. And in Group 2 it is Silver Mines against George Dohara in Dalla at 4 o'clock. Time for one final break, and we'll be back in part 4 with soccer and greyhound racing. And you're welcome back to the final part of Across the Line, where now we look to soccer, where this evening in the Airtricity League we'll have a strong Tipperary element in the Munster Derby between Treaty United and Cork City. Treaty with Nina's Mark Walsh and Tipperary Town's Willie Armshaw involved, while there'll be another Nina man lining out against them in the form of Barry Coffey, who is currently playing with Cork City on loan from Glasgow Celtic. And earlier this week, Paul Carroll, our own Paul Carroll, spoke to Barry Coffey and began by asking him about how his return closer to home in terms of the loan with Cork has seen his resurgence in form with 4 goals for the Munster side so far.
Yeah, I suppose, look, it has started really well. I suppose I have to give a lot of credit to Colin and the lads, my teammates. Like, they made me feel welcome and feel at home, and I suppose I've just tried to repay that by trying best. And I suppose it's always nice, I suppose, that extra little bit that you are playing at home. It kind of brings you back to when you were younger. It's always a nice feeling being able to play at home. Like, so it was a few things really helped. And look, it's just me gaining more and more experience and using that to the best I can.
Yeah, and there's a few other Tip lads down with Cork at the minute. Keen Murphy and Keen Bargary would have both been with St. Michael's. I suppose, again, nice kind of having a few Tip lads down there as well.
Yeah, no, it's always nice to have a few Tip area lads down. It always helps to have a little gang. The boys are great. But as I said, like, but even everyone's been great to me. Like, so I can't pick and choose one of them. They've all been excellent with me, and I'm very thankful for that.
Yeah, and like, even one of the first games, you were in the FA Cup against St. Pat's. You ultimately lost on penalties, but you scored that, I think, was a 95th minute equaliser down in Turner's Cross. It's a great way to kind of announce yourself with the fans.
Yeah, no, that was definitely a moment I'd always treasure for the rest of my career. It was a really nice moment, me personally, obviously scoring, but just how the game went. Just the goal itself and then the raw emotion of it. It was a moment I loved. And it was it's always nice to come up in that moment, absolutely.
And when you're out on loan now with Cork or even with Cliftonville, are you in constant contact with lads back in Celtic, or kind of how does that work?
Yeah, no, look, they're always keeping track of me. They always keep on watching my games and keeping in touch. So no, it's kind of all kind of checking in on me, Cork telling them how I'm doing, they asking Cork, and it's, you know, all positive and healthy, you know what I mean? Like, so they keep an eye out and keep up to date, yeah, definitely.
So I suppose this Friday night now you're up against Treaty United, and, you know, Treaty kind of going into this season, they're fairly an unknown quantity. You know, they had a lot of lads from the Limerick leagues and, you know, a couple of lads from some of the Tipperary teams as well. But they've come together and got a really good team so far this season. So what are you kind of expecting from them?
Yeah, definitely. They've probably turned a few heads. They've had a good season. They're a good side. So no, it's going to be a tough game Friday night. But ultimately, we'll obviously we want them. But we know we'll have to be at our very best to do so. So it's definitely going to be a really tough game. Tight game. So yeah, we know we'll be in for a tough night on Friday night.
And just looking at a kind of any sort of Limerick versus Cork game in any sport, we'll always have a bit of rivalry in there. But I suppose there's probably going to be a bit of rivalry in the middle of field as well with yourself and Mark Walsh. I suppose you would have been kind of based out of Nina Town here inside Nina. Mark would have always been with Nina Celtic, so there's probably going to be a bit of digging there in the middle of the field.
Yeah, if that's what you want to call it. No, look, it's I'll just focus on myself and Cork and do what I can for the team. But I'm looking forward to the game. It will be an enjoyable one. But as I said, it's going to be a tough battle all over the park as well. Obviously, Mark is a good player. I'm looking forward to it. But it's going to be a really tough game. And hopefully we can take 3 points.
Barry Coffey speaking with our own Paul Carler ahead of that Munster Derby in Limerick this evening. And just quickly locally in the FAI Junior Cup, it's the second round weekend. The 12 o'clock games are Tipperary Town against Glengool United, Killarnoll Rovers against Clonmel Town, 2 Mile Burris against Banshee Celtic, and the Old Bridge against Rose Green Rangers. At 3 o'clock, it's Peak Villa against Air Crony, V Rovers against BT Harps, Lough Derg against St Michael's, Bursacane against Clonmel Celtic, St Nicholas against Galway United, Duella against Ruir Cross, Cullinatton against Ballymackie, and Nina Celtic against Cashel. That game is in Moneygall. And as ever, at this time of Friday evening, we're going to talk dogs with Barry Drake. Barry, you're on the line there.
Yeah, how are we doing, sir?
Good to have you along, Barry. Barry, I suppose we're going to look backwards before we look forwards and reflect on last week's Irish Derby win for the Owen McKenna train, Susie Saffer. A really impressive winner in that €125,000 contest.
Yeah, so it was. It was a special night at Shelburne Park. The atmosphere was absolutely electric, and it was another foot-perfect performance from Susie Saffer, who's trained in the wind by Owen McKenna, putting on her greatest performance in the competition to stop the clock in 29-18, I should say. And in fairness, it was all one-way traffic up front. The outcome was never in any doubt. She'd already won the Puppy Oaks and Sporting Press Irish Oaks, and she claimed a famous victory there for the McKenna family, who won the Irish Greyhound Derby back in 2004, 17 years ago, since Like a Shot gave Owen McKenna his maiden Irish Greyhound Derby. So that's two. He's following in the footsteps of his late father, John McKenna, who won 5 derbies in total between here and across the pond. So as I said, look, it was a great advertisement for Greyhound racing, great crowd and atmosphere, as I said, was electric.
Yeah, and I suppose the only disappointing factor is that maybe that 4 dogs nearly took each other out and they're practically at the first bend, but it looked like Susie Saffer wasn't going to be caught. He bolted from the traps and nearly was 2 lengths ahead at the first turn.
Yeah, exactly. Look, she wasn't going to be caught no matter what would have happened at the opening corner. Obviously, look, 3, 4, 5 and 6 were all in early crowding. But look, she was firmly in control of the race heading into the opening corner, blistering early pace. And, you know, she's she's a perfect derby winner for the sport. She won all rounds, unbeaten in the competition. Everyone loves to see these greyhounds that can explode from traps and put on these front-running winning performances. She really is a special greyhound. And to complete the 6 wins in a row was just a magnificent result. A fairy tale story, really, for everyone.
Absolutely. And just quickly, before we talk about the local meetings, the Irish Greyhound Laurels are continuing this Saturday night, and strong Tipperary interest there.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Look, it's the feature in the Cork calendar. You know, we've got Cork GA legend really pushing this competition in recent years, Jimmy Barry Murphy. He's in great form looking ahead to the competition. And it's great that Pat Buckley, of course, the Kappa White trainer, we've got to mention her sing-along Sally, running such a gallant race in the defeat that Irish Greyhound Derby to finish second. She's making a quick reappearance in Curraheen Park on Saturday night. Buckley Kennel have reported her to be in absolute cracking form. So look, she's going to be one of the standout entries, along with the Owen McKenna train. Droopy's good, who will be a big hit as well. And you know, look, it's going to be a fabulous competition, and very much looking forward to it. Skywalker Barry, another one to keep an eye on for young Tipperary trainer Marco Donovan. But Sing Along Sally for Pat Buckley, certainly the star attraction in Cork on Saturday night.
And just in terms of Clonmel tonight and Thurles tomorrow night, what's taking your fancy there?
Yeah, brilliant racing, it has to be said, over the course of the 2 nights in the Tipperary venues. We'll start with Clonmel tonight. It's a 7:30 start, race number 4 at the Killy Town
on race day final, which is kindly sponsored by Anne and Lee O'Donnell in Mitchelstown, is a cracking race. Trap number two, Fleeting Angel, was a bit of an eye catcher in defeat last time, trained below in Waterford by Declan Byrne. I think Fleeting Angel can get the job done there for owners, the Dreamcatcher Syndicate, Nat and Roy in Galway. So that's the one for me in Clonmel tonight. Looking ahead to Thurles tomorrow night, they have a great car down for the season. It's 7:35 start. I'm always excited about the competition that gets underway tomorrow night. The Casco Dog Foods on race day, kindly sponsored by Casco Dog Foods. 2,000 euro for the winner, won last year by Knockboy Fly for the Macleans in Clonmel County, Tipperary. And I think we could have more Tipperary success in the competition this year. I really like the chance of Whittings Clarkey, who runs in race number four. That's heat number two, trained by Killing All trainer Jennifer O'Donnell. Eye-catching trial form, and this one should prove very difficult to beat. Well, in the following race, Shane, we'll finish up with race number five, and Tipperary trainer Patrick Gilfoy is introducing a new recruit to the sprinting ranks. This much debate, who's won two of his five starts over the standard trips. He posted 28.90 when winning around course and distance in September of last year. His recent trial of 17.62 around the 330-yard trip at Thurles is top-notch, and I fully expect him to make a winning sprinting debut in Thurles tomorrow night. As I said, look, two great meetings down for decision, both in Clonmel tonight and Thurles tomorrow night.
As ever, Barry, thanks for your input in tonight's show. We'll talk again next Friday night.
Thanks so much, Sam.
Barry Drake there, and that's about it. That jingle is it. That's about it for this week's show. Thanks to all my guests and my producer, Michael Brophy. I'll be back next Friday evening from 6 for another edition of Across the Line. After the news, it's Shades of Green with Carol Power, a shorter initial offering, because at 7:30 we'll cross live to Semple Stadium for coverage of the County Senior Hurling Championship game between Loughmore, Castellani and JK Brackens. Bye for now.